Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourque.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am your host, as always, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another good week to be a Caps fan, another good week of Caps hockey, three games, three wins. We have it all for you here. And the only thing, thank goodness, the only thing that sucked with this week was the weather the last few days. But here to talk about that. And so much more, because she is so much more, the beautiful, wonderful mermaid memeing mentalist, Fairfax County's teaching prodigy, live from Centerville, Virginia.
There you go.
Because she's neither left nor right, except when she's arguing with me. The beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Yes. Happy Monday, Gal.
Oh, with the happy Monday. Isn't that you're a teacher? Isn't that an oxymoron?
100%. Okay. So there's a little bit of sarcasm, and I think whenever I pass the teachers in the hallway, and we're like, "Good morning,"
a little bit.
It's like you know me or something. And then we all go to that awesome Office Space movie and think. We all have a case of the Mondays. Yeah, pretty much like a broken record. We have a case of the Mondays, especially when the kids haven't been in school for a full week and they come back and all they want to do is complain. And we're like, oh, no, you can do it. Keep complaining. It makes the day go by that much faster.
Yeah.
So that was today. Little sarcasm, a little bit. But I don't care because, you know, it's my birthday coming up.
Yeah, that it is.
We make a big deal of Anna's birthday here in my household.
We'll get to happier things, but I just don't get the whole happy, you know, day of the week. Whatever.
Except for Wednesdays.
Wednesday? Why Wednesday?
Because it's Happy Hump Day, and who doesn't like a good hump day? I mean,
yeah. Okay, I give you that, but I mean, you can't enjoy humping unless it's with whoever or however or whatever.
I hope it's not whatever.
Well, I mean, whatever floats your boat. I mean,
okay.
We try to keep an open mind here at the Triple P.
That's true. Hey, whatever you want to hump on hump day and it makes you happy, hats off to you. Good on you.
If it gets you over the hump, Or over the humping.
Yeah. Whether you go over, under, or through it, the hump day is a good thing. How's that?
Oh, man, we're digging a hole.
Yeah, that works for hump day, too.
I guess it does.
Oh, good times. This is what happens when we're both tired on Monday. So it's all good. But like you said, hold on, you said... aside from mentioning my birthday, three winning Caps games.
Yes.
This is a good thing. So we're going to ride this high.
Yeah, we sure are, as long as we can. Three games, 6 points up for grabs, all 6 points grabbed by said hockey team.
Right.
And so let's go ahead and get into it. The first game of three, of course, when we last left you, they had just come off a win on Sunday against the New York Rangers in overtime. And then it was the next Tuesday after that against Ottawa, the Senators.
You can just say it, Ottawa.
Ottawa. I like saying it like that.
Apparently.
Ottawa. It's one of those Canadian cities that's fun to say.
I like Toronto.
I don't like Toronto at all.
I like to say it.
It's too big. That's why people shorten it Trana.
Trana. No. Okay, so anyways, Ottawa.
Ottawa. In the what's that, the Scotiabank Arena? Oh no, Canadian Tire Center is where they play.
No, they played it was a home game.
Yes, it was a they come from Canadian Tire, but yes, it was a home game in good old Capital One. A 7-2 victory, although if you watch the first 10 minutes of it, and did I or did I not say, I was happily wrong about this, but did I or did I not say on the Sports on the Hill podcast, watch how this team approaches the game because it's yet another last place team that sucks the donkey particles, and watch how they come out against them and see what their attitude is. And sure enough, within 7 minutes, 7+ minutes, they were down 0-2. Oscar Lindbergh with his fifth of the year, 316 in. Nothing biblical about that, though. And then Anthony, why I do declare, with his 12th at 7-10 on the power play. He had the shot of snap. I said, oh, crap, as it went in. And, yeah, I was throwing bricks and doing other stuff with bricks at the time. And, yeah, I was none too happy. But Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I was there with you. However, I kind of was like, all right, shake it off. Get your shit together. Come out strong. You know, we're not going to let the Suns, you know, come into our home and do it. But I really wish we could get onto a pattern of not being down first. I know the next couple of games, these whole like 45 seconds into puck drop scores are not working for us. It's like neither, it doesn't matter if it's Copley or Holtby. It doesn't matter. We've got, you know, the stats to show that they're dropping the puck. We're not winning the faceoff and they're shooting and we're not ready. It's almost like the team's just not ready. Like they need a little warm up, a little cheer. And then like, oh, okay, well, like 3 minutes into it, we're ready to go. No. So that means to kind of turn around. There were a lot of people on Twitter who were pissed and just turned the game off after it was 2-0.
No, I wasn't ready to give up on them, but yes, very astute point, dear Anna. Because I think one of our fellow female fans also said something like that in one of the other rooms. I think it was either your pal Stephanie either her or Lisa Desabre said something about don't we lead the league in first goals against or something like that? Goals against within the 5 minute. Oh, you know what? I know who it was. It was Nicole Giordano from Pucker Up.
Pucker Up.
Tweeted it. She tweeted that. Now I remember. Yeah, she tweeted it. And I saw that and I was like, you know what? That she might be onto something there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it should not take 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes of the game to get freaking going. You have to be into it from the get-go. That's why I always say the first 10 minutes are key. Now, as it turned out, they didn't lose the game, but it is possible to lose the game if you start badly enough. And they sure as hell looked like it within those first few minutes.
Right. And this is another perfect example of even though the score was 7-2 and the goals were awesome and they finally come the third period, looked like they were having a good time, which we have, we've seen them happy, but this was like everybody was relaxed and everybody was in a good place and everybody was there for each other. Like it looked, you know, like the chemistry was back. But once again, the con in the situation is it wasn't 60 minutes of hockey from the Capitals. The fact that we were down 2-0 in the first 7 minutes is not okay. Yes, we did tie it up in the first period, and then we blew them out of the water in the second. Yeah, awesome. But again, it's like, you know, it shouldn't have been like that. We should have been on the scoreboard first. And that seems to be, you know, I've heard people talk about, there's some statistic, like I'm always amazed at the people, like the commentating, like who the people who are feeding them the stats information. I'm like, my God, how these people pull this stuff out of their ass. I have no idea. But there's some statistic about like if Brett Conley scores first for the team, then it's like a guaranteed win or something, you know, like some kind of crazy stat like that. And I'm thinking, well, hey, how about if we don't allow a goal within the first, I don't know, 60 seconds, you know, like where's our, you know, where is everybody and why is it like, oh shit, we're playing now? Oh, I wasn't ready. Okay. Like 5 minutes later. Okay. Yeah. I feel good. So that, you know, so, but it was a great, I mean, aside from that though, it was a great win to see just how relaxed and happy the boys were on the ice. So I'll take it at that.
Yeah, tis true. And so fortunately, like you said, they did finally wake up. And then, so after those two goals came the wake-up point and the rally, and just like the cavalry, here comes our hero, Tom Wilson, with his 18th, crashing the net, doing what he does best, putting the wrister in with just over 3 minutes left, getting the caps on the board. And 53 seconds later, the Tiger, Lars Eller, gets his 8th and ties it up at 2 with just over 2 minutes left. And now we have a game again. And little did we know, but the rout was on at that point. Next period, Caps get on the power play, the only power play that they would get. And that's the other thing. The only two penalties were called in this whole game.
I know, which I found shocking. But if I was a coach, I would be thrilled with that stat. Because they're finally, you know, considering the previous games, we talked about how many hooking and tripping and ridiculous penalty calls. Orlov, you know, you name it. Ridiculous. And this one only had two. And only one of them was the Cats. So the Cats, yeah. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So Carlson gets the power play goal, his 10th of the year on what would be the game-winning goal. And then Oshie follows up 4 minutes later, approximately, with a backhander. Nice play by him. Connolly with his 16th a little bit later. And you know where this is going. But, of course, the craziest goal of the night had to be the 6th goal, Oshie's 20th. Yay on him for getting his 20th, another 20-goal year. So he gets a pass from Orlov, and he comes down the left wing, and he shoots it. And the goalie runs into the net and knocks it off. A split second before the puck crosses the line, and they called it a goal. And this is going to become something of a theme, especially in the last game, goalies cheating on the Caps. Yeah, that was definitely one of the most unusual goals I've ever seen. But they did count it because the puck crossed the line. And it was good. Kuznetsov caps it with 1:17 seconds in the third period to make it 7-2, and you get the idea. 5-goal win. So that, by definition, is a boat race. If you listen to the Puck Podcast, anyway. So pretty good win there. Quick check of the vitals. 37-23 shots on goal. Don't have to tell you who led there. Faceoff, eh. Of course, the Caps were losers in that regard, but this is one of many where that stat really just doesn't move the needle. Power play, everybody had one. Everybody scored one. Sounds like Saturday nights in certain places I used to hang out at. Okay.
Nice in the Knox household.
I did not want to know that, but okay. Hitting game. Ottawa was much more physical, 15-8. Obviously, they also blocked more shots since they had more shots against, obviously. Possession game, kind of even. So no need to hash over that. Caps definitely came alive in the second, 17 shots alone in the second period. Your three stars of the game, TJ Oshie, the number one star with his two in the net. Lars Eller, second star. Nick Backstrom, the third. And so that is that. Obviously, great game all around. Very disappointed, like you said, in the beginning. But at the very least, they did wake up. Now, of course, I hope they came away with the lesson that they can't pull that crap against other teams that are hungrier and have a lot more to play for.
Cool.
As would be the case, would be with the next game, which was not until 2 days later. Up in Uniondale, Long Island, against the Islanders and our old friend Coach Barry Trotz. Fortunately, though, this would be a 3-1 win. Another slow start. Tom Kunackle, with his fourth of the year, starts off the scoring, 2:43 in.
Right.
Unassisted. He earned this one. Good drive to the net. But, you know, because it was, you know, it was such an earned goal, like he fought through checks to get to it. I didn't think, I mean, it wasn't a layup type of goal. It wasn't like, you know, a Matador routine where, you know, Toro, ole, and he gets through without being challenged. No, it was, he earned it. So I didn't feel so bad. And the Caps kept it close for the rest of the period. There was no scoring in the second. And then Jacob Vrana would get his 19th on a wrister, assisted by Backstrom and Kempney, tying the game. And then about a minute later, just over a minute later, Ovechkin with his 45th of the year on the power play, making it 2-1 Caps. Isn't this the one? I'm pretty sure this is the one. This is the one where he made like who the hell needs Bryce Harper? He made like a baseball player on this one, just whacked it in.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
Bryce Harper's a bitch.
Yeah,
so we're over
but
him.
We won't get into that. No. Or him. And Oshie caps it with time dwindling in the game, unassisted. 18:32 to go. So it was a nice 3-1 win. Great defensive effort overall. Held the Islanders to 21 shots. And that was great to see. Much better in the faceoff dot, though. Again, I don't think it really mattered. Power play was 1-for-3. Gave the Isles two chances on the power play. Didn't give up a one. I don't know if I like this trend. It's another game where the Caps were out hit. And that's really all the stats that matter. But like the shot output, like the possession game, like the defensive game, like the fact that they didn't give up too many shots against the Islanders. I know they're doing well this year, but I don't think they really have that much in terms of offensive talent. And so if you can hold them to 21 shots, I think you're going to win. You're going to do a pretty good job. Three stars of the game. Ovechkin, of course, the captain with the game winner. Number one star, Nick Backstrom, number two, and Tomas Greiss in a pretty good effort, the goalie for the Islanders, stopping 25 shots, the third star. So that was that game. It's probably their overall, of all three games, probably their best overall effort of all three games, I would say. Did you watch some of that game? Did you come away with anything?
You know what? I didn't. Was this a Saturday game?
This was the Friday night game.
Friday night game. This was the one where it was my daughter's birthday party.
Oh, yes.
And on our TV, I always get every single game. I watch every game. And we have a Roku now. And this was the one game they didn't show. So I had to listen to it. It's okay.
Oh, and of course, But of course, you listen to the dulcet tones of John Walton on Caps Radio.
Is there anybody else?
There's no one else. There is no one else like him. There's no one else that can match him.
Right. And I even put on Twitter how, thank God I had a chance to hear him, because he was so amped with that Ronicle. And so I felt okay. Like I could picture what was going on. You know, Stephanie was over having a couple cocktails and just enjoying, cause the kids were at the movies then. And I was like, awesome. So yeah, so he saved the day. So I didn't get an opportunity to actually see the game, but I heard it. And because it was Mr. John, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I need to get an Alexa, Amazon Alexa, and figure out how to do that thing where you can sync up the game whenever NBC has it on. Speaking of which, they would be the broadcasters for the next game, which was yet another Sunday matinee, this time in Madison Square Garden.
Big game.
Against the dreaded Blue Shirts, the New York Rangers. And like last time, this would go into overtime again, and in fact, beyond. Quick run through of the scoring in regulation. Pardon me. Stop me if you've heard this before. 45 seconds into the first period, Ryan Strome with his 11th for the Rangers, 1-0 lead. And before you can say Jacques Robinson, Caps are down again a few whistles into the game. But lo and behold, barely a minute later, just over a minute later, would come to the rescue Carl Hagelund, the newest Cap. One of them anyway, with his third of the year. I got to say, I said on Sports on the Hill and last week, I was not thrilled with this trade, but if he can put in timely goals like this, then I'm okay with it. He gets the wrister in, assisted by Orpik and Eller, just over a minute later, ties the game. And then who should come to call halfway through the first period but Andre Burakovsky. And I got to say, he looked awesome with this one.
Yeah, I did.
He took the pass from Dowd and just controlled it. It was like he charged the net and nobody was going to get in his way. Nobody was going to keep him from scoring. And I really wish he would show more than just flashes of if he played like this more than half the time, he would earn his spot on the roster. There would not be any doubt. There would not be this, we spent a first rounder on him. Why is he not producing? Right. There would not be any question. So if he would at least would display that kind of determination and effort, I mean, that's really all we need. The rest will fall into place. And I don't know. It was here, but if he turns it on come spring, I think all will be forgotten. But he gets his 9th on a nice wrister from the high slot, making it 2-1 Washington. And it would stay that way until 14:20 in the second, when Bushnevich from the Rangers would tie it 2-2. And it would stay that way all the way through the third period and into overtime and beyond. And that, folks, is where everything gets, well, interesting if you like this sort of thing. Of course, I don't know if you caught this, but there was that comment by Columbus coach John Tortorella of
yes,
about the shootout.
The only thing they might have agreed with him on.
Exactly. And I was right there with him. And if you're not quite sure what we're talking about, he made the comment during the week that he says he can't stand the shootout. He absolutely hates it. He wants it just so. Why don't we just play 3-on-3 until, and I quote, one of the teams dies, is what he said. And I don't know if I'd take it that far, but Torts, I am so with you there. I can't stand the shootout. I felt like, maybe this is a little too far, but I felt like expurging something bodily from myself when I saw that it was going to go to the shootout. especially when ex-cap Kevin Shattenkirk.
Yeah.
Kept his look.
He got a nasty, nasty cut on his lip.
Yeah, he did. And he came back to the
shit.
Captain's log, stardate, March the 2nd. I approached the goal and somebody whacked me with the
foot. Stop. No, no.
Anyway, he scores the first goal of the shootout. Oshie responds on his very same round with a wrister. So it's 1-1. Mika Zibanejad, who was the other half of the Star Tracker.
Yes.
That they did, that NBC did, our half being Nick Backstrom, of course, more on him in a second. He stopped by Holtby, so was Evgeny Kuznetsov's turn. He throws the wrister, stopped by Georgiev, the goalie for the Rangers.
It was awful, though. Did you see it?
What's that?
Kuzis. It was, I don't know what happened, but I was like, what are you doing? Just shoot it.
Yeah, no, that.
It was not okay. But let me just ask you this. What?
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, so he trying to make all these like little pretty passes and fake the goalie out. Not this goalie. I mean, come on. But I do have a question though. Of when you're watching the shootout, it seems to be that there's one goalie, like the Rangers, who stays pretty damn close to the pipes. And then there's Holtby, who's like 12 feet out. Is that a intimidation factor? Is it a, like, what? I don't understand why Holtby was so far out.
Okay, so the idea of a goalie coming out is to narrow the angle, is to not, I think you're right in some aspect. It is a little bit, I think, of an intimidation factor, because if a goalie is square and he comes out far enough, the line of vision for a shooter, there's nothing, literally nothing to shoot at. There's no space. You have to hope that you can get around him or somehow get the shot past him. But with very little space to shoot at, that doesn't really, you know, that it doesn't give you much in terms of hope. So I think you're kind of onto something there. It is a little bit of an intimidation factor. Now, of course, goalies, most of them, the technique is to come out, if they do that, just come out that far and then kind of slowly back towards, you know, back in, so that of course the shooter doesn't get around them.
Right. Which is what he did, but I was just wondering if it was that, like, this intimidation factor of, you know, of course you have, you're into over 60 minutes, you're tired, and here's this guy coming at you, and are you not going to be, you know, as strong? There's that, but then, you know, because I know Holtby is, he's not a huge guy, you know, like I don't know if it's, God, is it Tukarask or somebody who's like an insane, well, even Copley is tall. Like, I think he's like 6'5" or something crazy. That I just think that I was just wondering what I missed on that one, because at the other end, I mean, their goalie is this young kid who, and you have to give it to him, he had a fantastic game minus this stupid thing he did with Ovechkin, but
I'll give it to him for sure. You wait.
I mean, but it's like, I mean, he had a fantastic game, but he pulled back and Holtby was so far out. I was just curious.
Yeah, no, it's all a matter of technique. And with Holtby, as we've often said, a lot of his game is mental. And so I think, I think part of it, like you mentioned, is a little bit intimidation, but also it's that mixed with technique, because, you know, again, if you're that far out and from your shooter's perspective, you have nothing to shoot at. So, I mean, if you start out with that, if you get into their head that way, then you've got the battle half won. So, yeah, I can see that for sure. So that another good observation there. Why am I surprised? I'm not surprised. I'm just sounding like an idiot. Okay. But yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so where were we? So yeah, Kuznetsov coming in close. Reminds me of a bad 80s sitcom, too close for comfort. Literally tried to wait to literally the last second, and Georgiev pokes the stick at him and pokes the puck away, and thus ended the shot attempt. Our favorite resident a-hole on the other side, D'Angelo, he scores on his attempt.
He is such a bitch.
And
let me just say, I passed my coworker in the hallway today who season ticket holder. She's been diehard fan. And I said, you know what? I said, he is the Ryan Reeves of the East Coast. I just think he's a total bitch. I don't like him. I don't think he's dirty. And I don't like how he plays with Tommy.
Wow.
So, he's a bitch.
Okay. I can't say I disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, so with the game, with the game on his stick, it was Nick Backstrom's turn, and I don't know. I like Nick Backstrom almost as much as I like Oshie in the shootout. You just know he's going to score, and he did. I just have that much confidence in him. He's such an underrated shooter, but I knew he was going to get it. He did.
He looked good, and he's so calm.
Yeah.
There's nothing like the jerky movements with Kuzi. I was like, what the, like, that puck could go anywhere at this point, and it certainly wasn't going to go in. But yeah, Oshie is like just art on ice to watch. I mean, he's fantastic. And I agree. Backstrom does not get enough credit, but or enough praise or acknowledgement, even though he was that star that we talked about. But anyway, sorry. So go ahead into this Ovechkin
so
thing.
So into the last round, or what would turn out to be the last round, we go for round four of the shootout. A guy named, I've never heard of, named Chytil for the Rangers goes in, tries to put the wrister past Holtby. He doesn't. So on we go to the captain, who I was kind of surprised they had him fourth. And not among the top three. So he goes in and he makes his move. And okay, so we all saw it. He had the goalie beat. Okay. He had the goalie beat. He has the game on his stick. We were hoping and wishing to see what we've seen so often before. He beat the goalie, flings the puck at the net. And then, speaking of flinging, then out pops the stick of the goalie, Georgiev, and towards Ovechkin's shot, and promptly blocks it. And Ovechkin, of course, is waving his hands like, what the hell just happened, refs? That's a goal. Count the goal. And the refs are like, and at first, and unbelievably, they called it no goal.
Mm-hmm.
You believe this? No goal. Who were these idiots? Let's see here. Oh, that's right. Francis Chiron and Pierre Lambert. Ed Frankovic made some sort of comment about something about French Canadian referees. I don't know what it is, but yeah, they're awful. Awful. They had to go to Toronto. Toronto stepped in and just they were like, no, you guys are not going to screw this one up. There's even a rule about it. Chris Levesque has posted this in True Caps Fans. Rule number 24, okay, about goalies throwing the stick, or anybody throwing the stick for that matter. But
right. There's
a rule on the book says you cannot do that to stop a goal. If you do, it's an automatic goal. I can't believe that they called it no goal, but that the lame ass explanation from the refs I heard later was that from their point of view, they didn't see the stick thrown. He thought he dropped it. He thought the goalie just dropped it or was run into.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, we all know what happened. It was upon further review, thank goodness, by Toronto, they did award the goal to Ovechkin, which ended the game. Thank God. They come away with the shootout win. And so you dedicated a poem to me last week for my birthday.
Wait. Okay.
I dedicated a poem because, of course, the goalie's name is Georgiev. So I kind of modeled a poem after the nursery rhyme Georgie Porgy. So I call this one Georgiev Porgiev. Georgiev Porgiev, New York Ranger, saving methods couldn't have been stranger, cheated bad and threw his stick. So now, just like D'Angelo, he's nothing but a...
bitch.
Just that too.
Oh my God. Nice job, Gil.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay. So
now, hold on. Before we go on, there was a side of me, honestly, that was hoping that, is it Wes McCauley?
Wes McCauley. Mm-hmm.
I was so hoping that he would have been there to announce that.
Oh, that would have been funny as hell, but he was there.
So great. And it's so like just the highlights whenever he has to announce penalty or what. I freaking love it. So I wish he was there just because I would have liked to have seen the theatrics of Wes.
Oh, that would have been grand. But he was there for that other goal that I mentioned earlier, the one by Oshie in the Ottawa game, right, where the goalie knocked the net. So that he did call that, and he dragged it out. He had those dramatic pauses that I love. And he dragged it out just enough where you thought, oh, maybe, just maybe, he'll say no goal. But, of course, he said it was a goal.
Right. No, he's so great.
He's so, the best. He is actually one of the better rated referees.
True.
I saw that in a survey amongst players. He's consistently listed as one of the top referees. So he's not only good on the mic, he's good on the ice as well. So. There is that. So, okay. So again, that caps off the week, three games played, three wins. Of course, you want the wins as much as you can to be in regulation, but you'll take them when you get them. So taking a look at the near schedule, next game is up in, Philly against the Flyers, 7:30 puck drop. Game after that is back home at Capital One, New Jersey Devils, Friday night game, 7 p.m. Puck drop. And then comes a potentially special game for several reasons. It is revenge night, or it could be. I can't even remember the guy's name that injured Oshie, but I sure as hell hope he's in the lineup. And I'm sure Mr. Tom Wilson has a target on him, and I don't mean a Target gift card either, although he will hand him a receipt, I'm sure. It's for one reason, it's kind of special. It's a 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap One against the Winnipeg Jets, but it's also a special game because that game takes place on March the 10th. And March the 10th is, let's see, why is it special again? I'm trying to think. I can't help me out here.
Hints or anything. But
what's that?
I said I don't want to drop any hints or anything, but it doesn't have to do with me.
Oh, yes. You know what? In fact, now that I remember, it's all about you.
It is.
It's always all about you.
As it should be. And like okay, well, how about this for like craziness? Talk about my birthday coming up. Some guy who is going to be at the game is like, I'll buy you a beer. You're turning 30. I'm like, oh God. No, I was like, you're way off. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, don't be. And I said, I'll put it to you in Caps hockey terms. I'm currently Tommy Wilson jersey number age. on Sunday, I'm turning Brooks Orpik jersey number age. And I'm okay with it.
That's a very clever way to reveal your age.
Thank you. Not that there's anyone listening that is a San Francisco 49ers fan, but I can't help but say that growing up in the 80s as a Niners fan, my favorite player was Tom Rathman, and that was his number. So 44 is a good thing for me. But yeah, I'm going from the Wilson to the Orpik. Changeover Saturday to Sunday. And daylight savings.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping to make that game, but between being sick and other stuff, I couldn't get the day off. So, but that's neither here nor there. So we will definitely be glued to that one. But yes, it's going to be next week, of course. I can't quite think of something special we can do for that episode, but I'll figure something out.
Just no singing.
I promise that I won't do that.
Yeah, I will say
how much you hate that.
I do. It's not just you. I've told you this before. It's anybody. And yesterday, I will say, so Ian and I stepped out to go have lunch at this Mexican restaurant that we love. And the kids were like, well, I want to go. We just want to play on screens. All right, fine. Then enjoy yourself here. And we went to this restaurant and it was crowded. Sunday afternoon, and we're enjoying ourselves. And all of a sudden this woman starts to bang on this tambourine. I'm like, oh, hey, look, it's somebody's birthday. And Ian's just looking at me. I'm like, oh, please tell me you didn't. He's like, oh, I didn't say anything. He's like, but you get to wear a sombrero.
Oh, nice.
I almost died. Like, I almost died of complete embarrassment. Like, you wouldn't think that I get really embarrassed. To have to wear a sombrero in front of a whole restaurant full of people while they sing to you, I would just prefer the earth to swallow me up right then and there. So,
yeah.
But he had me going because he was like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and film it because the kids are going to get a kick out of it. And it wound up being the table behind us. so that was good. But I was like, I almost literally thought like, this is going to happen. And he's like, well, no, he's like, we're not going to do this. He's like, the sombrero is one thing. He's like, but if you go to Texas Roadhouse, you have to ride the saddle. I'm like, oh, fuck that. There's not enough alcohol in the world to get me to sit on a saddle.
I think I would pay money to see that.
Right. Yeah. You're probably the only one. But you know what? Going to Nashville at the end of the month, stranger things have happened, you know, when in Rome, but I'm not going to the local Texas Roadhouse to sit on a saddle with a cowboy hat and have restaurants sing to me because, again, no. So that's it. So yeah. So no singing. I'm good. And we don't even, you know, we'll talk about it. I'm hoping to get to the game. I don't even know if I will, but it's going to be a good one.
Okay. So, you mentioned your Nashville trip. So that reminds me, previews of coming attractions. Of course, we got the birthday bash next week, however that's going to turn out. Within the last couple weeks of the month, going to put it out there now, lovely female fans listening, lovely and loquacious, that is. You want to have your turn on the mic and get your hockey on, get your Caps hockey talk on with us. We plan on doing a special females-only roundtable discussion, trying to get our friend, as I mentioned, as it turns out, I mispronounced her name. It's not Fi, it's Fee, because Fi is short for Fiona. Fiona! Fiona! No? Okay.
Yeah.
But doesn't ring a bell? Shrek?
I know. Of course I know what it's from, but I don't. I'm sure she's heard it 1,000 times.
I'm sure she has too. Sorry, Fiona. But loved Fiona McKinnon. Love to have her on. I've sent her some Twitter notes asking her if she could make it. Love to have someone like Lisa Desabray on, Rochelle, if she's interested. Anybody really.
Well, I spoke to Rochelle yesterday and she said absolutely. And also Nicole from Pucker Up.
Oh, yes. Love to have Nicole on as well. Definitely. Yeah. But yes, we are looking to do an all-female round table. This, of course, being Women's History Month. We did Black History Month last week, actually, with Stuart Small, which reminds me another thing. I hope everybody caught the hilarious video of him riding on the Zamboni in the Ottawa game.
So great.
Love seeing that. That was hilarious. But unfortunately he actually fell ill, not long after that game. He's out of hospital now. Thank goodness. He was on bed rest for a while. I think he's, looks like he's feeling, pretty good now. But he was pretty sick for a few days there. So thank goodness for that. Just wanted to throw that out there. If you know him, of course he was on with us last week. But again, the all female show, we plan on having, one of the last 2 weeks of the month. So either week after next or that last week, the 25th. So, like to line up some of our, always knowledgeable, female fans for that. But that's the big show that's coming up. So on to a couple of sad notes, and I hate to end the show this way, but you have one. Did you want to go ahead with yours, or
did you? I had one shout out and one mention. You want me to just do both of them?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so for those who follow Cap Stuff on Instagram, which a lot of us do, I came upon this group. It's at Capitals_today, and they were asking, you know, if something, you know, one of those, if you like the post and you tag three friends kind of thing, and it just so happened that I won. And they were, it was going to be a poster. They were to give like an Amazon card and you could purchase this poster. And then there wound up being a little delay, and cause I didn't care. I was totally fine with it. Couldn't be nicer. I got a $25 Amazon gift card today to put towards Cap Attire or whatever else. I wound up getting a flag, which I don't have, for the front of our house. But yeah, just a really cool, they've got great videos and obviously very passionate fans. So go ahead and give them a follow at Capitals_today on Instagram. And then
Capitals_today?
Today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like
good to know.
So really, really cool material. And then I did, I told you just briefly, heard from Brian Bingham today. Again, for those of you who don't know, his wife is currently going through chemo for her breast cancer. But happy to say that she is halfway done. So halfway there with her treatments.
Oh, great.
So that's a good thing. Unfortunately, it is, you know, it's depressing, and she's kind of feeling a little bit down, and the side effects are a bitch. And, you know, but Brian has a lot of awesome support in his neighborhood and friends and family who are there to hopefully lift the spirits. So I said that we would give a Power Play Point podcast, audio podcast hug to Heather and her family, to say that, of course, like, we're thinking about her, been, you know, listening to the updates from the beginning, and can only hope that things will, that we're at the bottom and that we can only go up from here. That's what I'm hoping for.
Right. Okay, great. So yeah, if she's halfway through chemo, then yes, halfway home, fingers crossed, hearts going out to her, and all that. And I've never been in that situation, Lord willing, I never will be, but I have seen people who have to go through that, been with them. And yeah, it's one of the hardest things, you will ever go through, without doubt, human, the human body and the human spirit will ever go through. So, Heather, if you're listening, we're still with you. Our hearts are with you. Brian, thanks for helping keeping up the good fight. And I'm sure, like I've said before, I'm sure she will come out of this better and stronger than ever and kick cancer's ass, because that's what we want.
Absolutely.
Not so sad note there. So thank goodness. So she is fighting through that little bit. Well, not a little bit, but something more of a downer. Although it's closure. Thank goodness. But it's after the fact, so I can reveal it now. But Thanksgiving of last year, it all started at the wedding that I officiated. I met a pretty cool fellow Caps fan by the name of Rebecca Thomas, and I got to know her pretty well. But unfortunately, a few months later on Thanksgiving, she passed away. So briefly, what her story was and is that she was involved in a terrible car accident. And as a result, she acquired an infection while in hospital. And as a result of that infection, her heart valves deteriorated, and she ended up dying because her heart pretty much had given out not long after Thanksgiving dinner. Well, this past Friday, due to the efforts of another great Caps fan by the name of Maribel Gray. Maribel, if you're listening, thank you so much again. The final funeral arrangements were done, and it was a very small, very private, very intimate gathering. That's why I didn't mention it too much on the show, even though I was asked to attend and say a few words. Long story short, Becca was cremated, and we finally have some closure now. And she's finally been laid to rest. And again, that's all through the efforts of Miss Maribel Gray, one of her best friends. And so that's, I guess it's kind of sad, but it's also good that we finally have closure in this, and that she's been laid to rest. And I posted some pictures of the memorial that Maribel had put together. So just give that a look-see over at our Facebook page. If anybody wants, I can post them again. I just wanted to put that out there and mention that. Hate to end on that note, but like I said, it's kind of good in a way because it's closure. So she's been laid to rest finally, and that's a good thing. Okay, so Anna, did you have any final thoughts for this week?
No, I'm all good.
Okay, sorry I went on a little bit long there, but I had to say something. So
okay.
So early birthday present this week for Anna. I usually do my really bad joke at the end. I am going to hold off. And you can consider that your early birthday present, your real birthday present I'll come up with for next week's show. But going to give you an early one this week and just close the show.
Okay. Well, you may have disappointed many others, but
I'm sure I have. and if you want, I'll even let you have the last word.
A word.
That's the best you can do?
I have nothing. I'm hungry. So that's
okay.
It. So on, yeah, final note. So we're going to close out this. Now, is this episode 98, 97?
This is 97.
All right. So we're getting up there on the 100. Sweet.
Yeah, we're getting close.
All right. Go ahead. Close this out.
All right. Hallelujah. And let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.